Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for a midweek Bible study right here on our website. The title of our study is Let's Talk About Jesus, and the title of our theme today that we're going to study is Becoming More Like Jesus. Now, that sounds very simplistic and almost redundant. We talk about wanting to be more like Jesus, but we want to get a biblical understanding of just exactly what our destiny is. I hear people ask me all the time. I want to preface it by saying this. People ask me all the time, Pastor Venable, I'm not sure of what God's purpose is for my life. And generally they're talking about ministerial callings, things they should be doing for the Lord, missionary or pastor or evangelist or whatever, teacher or whatever they can do to serve the Lord. And the gifts of the Spirit are service gifts, service oriented. You receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. The gifts of the Spirit, the charismata, they are for service to the Lord, that we may serve with the supernatural anointing along with the supernatural appointing when God calls us. But there's something common to every child of God, and that's our spiritual destiny. And everything in the kingdom of God and every ministry gift in the kingdom of God is working to that glorious end, becoming more like Jesus. Amen. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. It reads, this is the product of the Holy Spirit. It's the result of His work in our life. And then it goes through the list of love and joy and peace and goodness and meekness and kindness and so on. What is all of that? Is it that is the character of Christ, who manifested to us the very character of God. That's why, through His words, through His works, revealing His character, He said, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. No one could look upon the person of God and the presence of God because of the glory, the Shekinah glory that shines from His presence. Actually, He's called a God who dwells in unapproachable light. And the glory shines from His holy character, His goodness, His pure holy person. This is our God, of which it is said He dwells in unapproachable light. When we see the character of Christ, we behold the glory of God. Amen. John's gospel begins with, in the beginning, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld His glory. Now, we didn't see that unapproachable light that would have burned our eyes out. We saw the character of God completely and perfectly reflected and displayed through the life, the words, and the works of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. When we see the character of Christ, we behold the reason for the glory that shines forth out of the presence of God. Remember when Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus before he became named Paul. When he met Christ on the road to Damascus, he saw a light brighter than the noonday sun. Fell off whatever the beast he was riding, and he didn't know who it was, but he knew it was his master. Amen. He hit the ground and said, you know, unto the Lord, he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, who you persecuted. when he persecuted one of the followers of Christ, disciples of Christ, is because we're part of the body, very body of Christ. He said, when you persecute one of them, you're directly, distinctly persecuting me. This is all about becoming more like Jesus and therefore becoming more like God in character and in our personality. And friend of mine, just being a good Christian and going to church and paying tithes and whatever else we do to please God will never fulfill our spiritual destiny. It begins with letting the Holy Spirit do His greatest work in us, and that is to make us more like Jesus. We used to sing it, simple little song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. That's all I want. All I ask is to be like Him. Amen. How many Christians' greatest goal in life is not just to minister for Him initially, or even minister to Him, but to be more like Him and thereby fulfill our spiritual destiny? Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, literally a mirror mirrored back to us, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. See, this is the great work of the Holy Spirit. What is the product of the Holy Spirit? As we behold the character of Christ, we see why the glory emanates from the presence and person of God Himself. This word changed here means we are transfigured, transformed, progressively more and more like His holy character. Comes from the Greek metamorpho, where we get metamorphosis, which is the process by which a caterpillar, amen, turns into a beautiful butterfly, goes into a cocoon and comes out a beautiful creature. Amen. Listen, the Amplified said we're transfigured into His very own image, even in ever more increasing splendor. Well, where do we get this? Where do we get this mirrored glory back to us? It's what we see in Christ and what we read in the Word of God. And we begin to understand the product of the Holy Spirit, in effect, the fruit of the Spirit. All of the fruit of the Spirit is the recreation of the character and nature of Jesus in you and in me. This is the predestined purpose of God for all His true children. I would start there to find any other purpose for our life. Start right there. I have met ministers who are not... I don't want to be critical of ministry because I are one. I am one. I've been a minister of the gospel, pastor, evangelist, president, director, and several hats of the Holy Church of God in Tampa, Florida here for 50 years and counting. And I'm still not looking for the purpose of God, but seeking to fulfill that purpose. Most people want power for service, power to minister effectively, instead of power to be. And the Scripture said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, when He has come upon you, you'll be witnesses unto me. You will be first something before you do something for the Lord. The Holy Ghost, in relation to that word power, it's the word dunamis, and it means miracle working ability. That's to serve God with, to be a witness unto the truth with, to preach with, to pray with, to not to play with, I might add. Listen, friend of mine, God wants me and you to become more like Jesus, and through that to become more like Him. That's why Ephesians 5 says, "Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love even as Christ." Fruit of the Spirit, it starts fundamentally and foundationally with the divine agape love of God. In fact, without the qualifying fruit, the gifts become of none effect. Though I have faith to remove mountains and have not charity, in the sense here that it's used, it's agape love, divine, supernatural love, the God kind of love. Amen. Oh, friend of mine, if though I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not this fundamental fruit of the Spirit, I'm become sounding brass, tinkling cymbal, a lot of noise without real spiritual substance. And it goes on, and every gift of the Spirit to serve God and to serve others has to be qualified with divine agape love. And that is the development of the fruit of the Spirit. I saw a title of a book on the fruit of the Spirit years and years ago. It really impressed me because it said, "Son, ripened fruit," S-O-N, Son, the Son of God. Jesus, Son, ripened fruit. Listen, if you want to know God's purpose for your life, it all starts here. Cooperate with God. Submit and surrender to God for this purpose. Amen. Becoming more and more like Jesus, and thereby an imitator of God. That word follower in the Greek, it's imitator. It's becoming what He was. That's what disciple means. It's not just Jesus is our sensei. Jesus is our teacher. Jesus is certainly a teacher, but He taught by example. Not just all kinds of biblical principles that He gave us, but He taught by the life that He lived and the love that He gave. Praise God. Amen. To become a disciple of Jesus is not just to know what our teacher knows, but to become what our teacher is and who our teacher. Not become divine, but let the Holy Spirit bring forth His divine character in our lives. We're clay vessels, and in this clay vessel, the Bible said we have a treasure. Hallelujah. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and of Christ and not of ourself. Praise the Lord. Romans 8, 28, 29. Let's read it together. And we know, we do not speculate this, and I've heard this misquoted. Here's the misquote of the beginning of these two verses. All things work together for good to them that love them. Wait. Back up. We need a little beep, 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 beep. We need to back up and start at the beginning. Text out of context is a pretext. And that's where we get misunderstandings of the Scriptures. We're supposed to rightfully divide, study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. We run through these things too quickly and we miss key parts of it to give us full biblical and spiritual understanding. So let's back up. I'm talking too fast. I need to back up. I need a beep, 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 beep on me. And that means I'm backing up. Amen. In the Psalms, it would put it this way, Selah. And that means to stop. It's a musical term initially to the director of music and the musicians to stop. There's a pause where no one is playing, and then we go again. In the spiritual sense of that term, Selah, and you'll see it in the Psalms, it means to stop for a moment and quietly contemplate what has just been said. Because if we read over it too quick, we won't think of it very deeply. We won't think about it very deeply. It will not be clearly understood, and it will not be imprinted upon our heart. Friend of mine, we need to take time to rightfully divide the word of truth, and we need the help of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, who has come to guide us into all truth. And if you want to know the truth about your destiny, listen to it. And we know this is to be Christianized within us, a knowledge that no matter what is happening in our life, God is still in control. The love of God is still flowing from the cross to us. And friend of mine, we know, therefore, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, we think the highest purpose that God would have is save us from hell and take us to heaven. Well, that's the most vitally important thing that could ever happen to anyone. But friend of mine, God's purpose for the believer who is saved, listen to it. Verse 29 reveals and defines His eternal purpose for every one of us. That's why a lot of temporal things that are bad, God can use to work for eternal good. We're trapped in time. We see and sense things through time. God is operating out in time and outside of time. He's working for my and your eternal good and His eternal glory. Praise God in our eternal glory. Listen, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Hallelujah. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren, many brothers and sisters. The Amplified says here, molded into the image of His Son. That's why the Scripture says, be not conformed to this world. That means pressed into this world's mold. But be ye transformed through the renewing of your mind, that we might prove, that we might exemplify, you see, what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. What is that good, perfect, and acceptable will for every single child of God that loves Him? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn. Hallelujah. Molded into the image of His Son instead of the image of the evil one that is influencing all of this fallen world and everyone in it. In fact, the ministry gifts are supposed to be leading us to become more and more like Jesus. Ephesians 4:11 through 13. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. See, there's not a comma, pastors, comma, and teachers separated. They're pastors and teacher. A good pastor is not just a great preacher. What would make him a great preacher or her is because we're teaching the Word of God. We teach it under the anointing. We teach it with the flame of the anointing. But we teach it with the rightfully divided truth that is found in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Listen, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting, that means the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, as we behold as in a glass His face, you see, we are transfigured into His image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Right now, in every child of God, this work is the great work of the Holy Spirit within us. I know people with great anointings that were not a lot like Jesus in their personal. I'm not talking about holiness, abstaining from things that would be considered sin. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Being around people that make you feel like you've been around Jesus when you leave them, because of the sweetness, because of the goodness, because of the meekness, the temperance, the patience, the love, the joy, the peace. Amen. Filled with the knowledge of the Son of God, until we stand mature in His teachings and fully formed in His likeness. Praise God. Many Christians today are more interested in self-exaltation, self-reliance, self-seeking, and to become as wealthy and famous as the leader they have chosen to follow than to seek to be more like Jesus, the Lord we're supposed to be more and more progressively like. Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him, there it is, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I like the paraphrase. Going to take time to read that this afternoon. That we will be no more children tossed around here and there upon ocean waves picked up by every gust of religious teaching spoken by liars, swindlers, and deceivers. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Instead, by truth spoken in love, we're to grow in every way into Him, Jesus, who is the head. Friend, is some greedy Christian leader ever getting but never having enough and asking you for more over and over and over again? Is this like Jesus? Is this someone who is working to fulfill your spiritual, help you fulfill your spiritual destiny, or to fill their own pockets and coffers with gold and silver? I'm not saying God won't make some preacher rich. I'm saying He does it at their peril, because He said they that would be rich, if that's the goal of that ministry, is for that leader to get rich beyond our wildest dreams out here. Friend, the true riches is when we see the value of our God and of our Savior. We understand we were purchased with precious blood, not with gold and silver and anything it can purchase. Oh, and we want to be more like the One who laid down His life for you and for me. As true children of God, we should be living a life that is progressively more and more, more like the One who came to not just save us, but to show us the Father. That God would not be cloaked in mystery. This God who dwelt behind the veil was rent from top to bottom. Not only can we enter into the presence of God, but the God whose presence was behind that veil, who said, keep out, danger, danger. Oh, this God can come and make His home in us. Praise God. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to indwell those 120, there were cloven tongues of fire upon their head. We kind of focus on the tongues they were speaking in because of the Holy Spirit's baptism, rather than the Shekinah glory emanating from their heads, from heads of people like you and me, heads of clay vessels. This glory is now entered into. Oh, hallelujah. That's why we're to recognize this Holy One that is living in us, and through the Holy Spirit, Christ is indwelling us, and through the Holy Spirit, God is indwelling us. Praise the Lord, Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. Praise God. No more children. No more children tossed to and fro. Listen, but growing up into Him, maturing more and more progressively. We'll never be just like Him till He comes, but when He comes, we will. The Bible said when He comes, we will know Him thoroughly, intimately, personally, for we shall be like Him, literally just like Him. For corruptible will put on incorruption, mortal will put on immortality. We are indeed sown in weakness, raised in power. Praise God. But right now, every ministry, every person that is bringing the Word of God to us and the Bible itself, as we behold, as in a mirror to us through the Word of God, an effective ministry cooperating with the eternal purpose of God. Amen. All of that is to make us more and more like Jesus, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestined to become just like Jesus, more and more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Indeed, that old song, we used to sing it with our hearts melting with love for the Lord. Hallelujah. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Hallelujah. That's what this is all about. And friend of mine, Jesus prayed it in John's Gospel. He said, Father, you know how I'm in you and you're in me, and we are one in that relationship. I want them who believe upon me. That goes down through the centuries of time to you and I today. Those who believe on me to be in us like I'm in you and you're in me. More and more and more. This treasure has been deposited in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of ourselves. That's when God uses us, when God does things through us, when someone senses and sees Jesus in us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, friend, we deflect the glory. We give it all to God and to Jesus. Hallelujah. Today I pray you will be challenged by the Word of God to see your greatest, greatest calling before any other ministerial calling is to become more like our Maker, more like our Divine Savior, our Sovereign and King, soon coming King, Jesus, 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 to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. That's all I ask, is to be like Him. I used to sing it with tears streaming from my eyes, because the first love for Him was burning. And I pray, as I'm challenged here today, we celebrated 50 years of ministry recently, 50 years of pastoring this ministry and being the president director. And many people said many wonderful things about me, and many of them convicted me. They said he was one of the sweetest. When I saw that word sweetest, I thought, boy, I don't feel sweet sometimes. Sometimes I'm impatient, not letting that fruit be ripened by the S-O-N. Sometime I'm not as meek, one of the fruit of the Spirit, as I should be. Sometimes I get my back up and I have to pray the Holy Spirit will help me to lay it back down. Oh, but friend, I want to be, I desire to be more like the one who redeemed me and the God who loved me enough to send him to save me. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to apologize to anyone who doesn't see enough of Jesus in me and say, don't judge him by me. But on the other hand, yeah, I am becoming more like him. And when I see that I'm not, I repent and say, help me, Lord. Come to Christ today. Come to the God who sent him to save you. In Jesus' name.